Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4715.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
I would say my father had the biggest influence on me due to the fact that he taught me how to be a person, I suppose. In life, it's easier to proceed if you have a model to sort of go by, and obviously there are gender roles, and while my mom did contribute to the person I became, my father helped teach me what it was like to be a man in the world that, you know, we live in.
What do you aspire to be?
It's a very open question. As a person, I aspire to continue to grow and to be a better person. How I define that is more or less to be empathetic, to be not fearless, but in control of my emotions, to continue to be introspective to the point where I can understand my reasoning behind doing what I'm doing as opposed to just acting instinctually. Although that can be important, I like to understand the person I am.
And how would you describe yourself as a human being?
I suppose the previous question alluded to it a little bit. Introspective is part of it. Analytical, empathetic, driven. Those are probably the best adjectives I can give you.
And what types of things make you happy?
Predominantly just understanding. I guess I'm a fairly intellectual person and lead with my mind as opposed to my heart. Although I am empathetic and do have that capability, I prefer to understand things first before I feel them. So just being able to understand how things work, having epiphanies of sorts, having my understanding of the world and of things broadened as much as possible is exciting for me. The day-to-day things become stale for me fairly quickly, so the more novel and new things tend to excite me and make me more happy.
And what types of things make you sad?
I suppose it's not a lot of external things. So atrocities in the world, although they're disappointing, don't tend to make me feel as emotionally sad as personal things. So personal failure, you know, anything that sort of picks at self-confidence. And then there's the usual, loneliness usually, like, you know, equates to sadness to some extent. Seeing because of the empathetic nature, seeing loved ones hurt makes me sad. I guess maybe human atrocities fall outside of that, and like war and things like that, just because there isn't that emotional connection. It's easier to disconnect and distance.
Describe the world you came from and how that world shaped who you are.
Well, I grew up moving about quite a bit due to my father's occupation, and as a result, that kind of gave me a really varied experience pool to draw from, I suppose. And so, like, my personality is not homogenous or purebred or however you want to think of it. It's very patchwork quilt, I guess, is how I've always thought of it. And, you know, because of moving around so much and the different cultures that I've experienced and the variety of personalities that I've come in contact with, I've pulled from all of those, and that's really, I've tried to incorporate the things that I appreciated the most through all those experiences.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else, and how did you develop this attribute?
I mean, I don't want to say I'm that much different from everyone else, but due to the previous question, the fact that I have had a varied experience, especially growing up in my formative years, that does distinguish me from the more traditional upbringing that, traditional in quotes, whatever that means. But, the very, dual parent, I guess the leave it to Beaver type of situation, which maybe really doesn't exist anymore, but as a result, my personality and my perspective on things tends to be quite different than others.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have and why?
I think self-awareness is key for me, and that may not be surprising considering the other answers I've given. But self-awareness is key. If I don't tend to, I guess the opposite of admirable is lacking respect. I don't tend to respect those who aren't aware of their behavior, of how they interact with the world around them. Just because it tends to be easier just to float as opposed to actively participate in life and, figure things out and find your place and know what that is. So I find that quality extremely admirable, or admirable. A couple other quick things are just intelligence is key for me. Strength of character, I guess integrity. It's easy to sort of fall into groupthink and do what the masses do because that decision will always be supported. You have numbers on your side always when you do that. I think it's a lot more difficult to stay true to who you are despite the fact that it doesn't go with the rest of the group.
What quality would you like to see flourish, and which would you like to see wither?
Because I strive for self-improvement, I've thought about this a lot. And the quality that I'd like to see flourish the most is, I guess, self-confidence. Not that it's lacking per se, but it's an obstacle. And maybe the way I'm going to answer this is the opposite side of the coin. The quality which I'd like to see wither would be, a caving to fear to some extent. I think fear and love are the base emotions that drive all other things, and those need to find a balance. And for me, I spent a lot of my time, especially as a youth, like caving into fear. And as I grow up, I would like to see that become less of an influence. And obviously, just love that equals passion, or however you want to kind of think of it, and just, play that up more than let fear override it.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
I think family is critical to, I mean, anybody's development, and provides roots for them. So although I'm independent and don't necessarily communicate with my family as much as some people, when I do, I like to spend that time really just, maybe back to that introspective part of me, just understanding who they are as people and how they've grown, and trying to find similarities between their development and mine, figuring out just, all right, mom, or dad, you had these experiences, you've grown up in this way, like, what can I pull from that to help me in my development? So maybe what you learned at 40, I can learn at 30, or something along those lines. Then of course there's always, the traditional like sharing of meals and, just family time of catching up with your day, that sort of thing. But a little bit more specifically, just understanding who they are as people rather than just, hey, you're mom and dad to me, and that's all I'm going to know about you.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
You know, it. I think it's easy to name a particular item. For me, it was a card or letter that I received when I was at boarding school. Not sure if that. Yeah, but a card that I received when I was at boarding school, just letting me know how valued I was. And usually the most important presents, in my experience, aren't the ones that are the biggest or even the most sentimental, but it's what means the most at the right time. And for me, that was a time that I needed to refocus and hear those words, or read them as the case may be, and so that was the perfect timing, and has always sort of stuck out in my mind as something that, was more important than any material gift that I could have been given.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
I was a pretty active kid, still a pretty active adult, so, I played every sport for the most part: football, baseball, basketball, wrestling. I think I played water polo for a year as well. So, oh yeah, track and field too.
What is your favorite book, and are there certain types of books that you enjoy, and do you have a favorite literary character?
Although somewhat macabre, I suppose, there's a book called Death Be Not Proud I read when I was a kid, and was just about a father and his son who was dying of cancer, and the influence the son had on the father, and in terms of his dealing with the illness. And that book always stayed with me. The types of books I tend to enjoy, in terms of fiction, tend to be more fantasy. If I'm going to enjoy myself, why not completely remove myself from the world that I'm in? I tend to these days I tend to slant more towards nonfiction, just because, there are only so many hours in the day, and I may as well spend as many as I can trying to learn something and develop myself. And although fiction is important and can, spur creativity, it's not quite as practical as learning, factual things. In terms of literary character, unfortunately, I don't have a favorite one in particular. Type of character, I always gravitated towards the anti-hero, I suppose.
What do you do for fun, and what are your hobbies?
As you may guess, I'm still an active person, so, I turned my athletic childhood into sort of a passion as an adult, and I really enjoy learning about the body, fitness and nutrition. I do tend to read a fair amount, both about that and about, other things as well, politics, etc. Hobbies, I write a fair amount. I've tried a fair amount of things. Nothing has stuck too much, other than the fitness aspect of things. For me, life is fairly simple. I prefer it that way. I don't need a lot, so my core elements tend to be like mind, body, and soul. So, I don't need much outside of that. It's a lot of conversations, actually, if that can even be a hobby. It's sort of just philosophizing about different things.
Are you a creative person? If so, how do you express your creativity?
I'm fairly creative. I'm not the Jackson Pollock or Dali or that sort of creative outside the box type of person. But I do like putting together things in weird combinations, whether that be in writing and mixing and matching of different terms, or cooking and different flavors, or however you want to think of it. I do enjoy novel expression. For me, that does tend to come across the most in terms of writing. Wordplay is just fun for me.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
People have told me this, whether or not I understand it or believe it is something else. I've gotten a few. The two that come to mind are Val Kilmer and Mark Paul Gosselaar, I believe is his name.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
I guess it's the scientific phenomenon or mathematical theory. They kind of overlap in terms of, although I'm completely a layman when it comes to the understanding of it, just quantum mechanics. It challenges me to understand how everything fits together. And it seems, I don't know, I guess it's comforting in the same way that some people find religion comforting, that maybe there's a final understanding that incorporates everything. I guess that's it challenges me in that I would like to believe that. I would like to believe that everything can sort of be tied up in a nice, neat little package, and that, everything sort of makes sense. Whether or not that actually is the case, I have no idea whether or not I believe that, but if they can prove that, that would be extremely fascinating to me.
Have you experienced a moment of epiphany as if your eyes were open to something that you were previously blind to?
This sort of touches on the previous question as well. There was a I watched a movie when I was a teenager that really made me aware of what emotions are on a very biological level. And it was just pertinent at the time because obviously you're a teenager and the world doesn't make sense and you're very hormonal and emotional. So it's a movie called What the Bleep Do We Know, and it basically breaks down emotion into just biochemical, signals that everything is just a chemical that your brain produces, and that, as much as we'd like to think of it as reality, it's just another chemical, and it plays on our conception of what reality is. If you can, obviously, if you get more or less of that chemical, or if you are given a different chemical, and it just distorts your version of what reality is, that reality isn't static, that it's ever changing, I suppose.
What is your favorite season and why?
I really like fall just because there's something. It's obviously a point of transition, and maybe that's common for all seasons, but it's things start to cool off, things tend to slow down as well. I think obviously spring, like things pick up, and summer, like people are out doing things, but fall tends to be a little bit more of a cozier time, but not you're not so in the midst of winter yet that, all you do is sit inside. Things tend to be a lot more like, I guess, more my speed, which is, calm and yeah, just calm and peaceful, serene, I suppose.
If you were a superhero, who would you be and what would your power be?
After all my other answers, I have to pick Professor X from the X-Men, because he's not the flashy like superhero that's out and about. He doesn't necessarily he represent anything. Everything is very mental, and I guess I see myself as that way as well. Hence the favorite character being an anti-hero kind of thing. Like I'm not the type of person that will lead by choice. I prefer to be in the background as much as possible, but have a major role, and I think that describes Professor X fairly well.
Why did you choose marketing and advertising as your line of work?
To put it simply, I chose it because it's sort of the psychology of business, why people do what they do, why they buy what they buy, and because I'm not big on consumption myself, It's the same to me as an anthropologist going to, a tribe in Indonesia and trying to understand that culture. It's fascinating for me to look at like just data on why people, consume vast amounts of consumer goods or, even within ads in particular, what makes an ad more not standout-ish, but that's the best word I can come up with in my head right now. But more prominent than another. The ad space is so cluttered, like anyway, just understanding people, that's why.
So, what do you find most interesting about your work?
I guess the most interesting part is being surprised. For the most part, I have my hypotheses as to why people do certain things, and there's plenty of information to test those theories. The most interesting part is when something completely unexpected comes out, and those are always good days.
If you had to choose a different career, what would you be and why would you choose this career?
In retrospect, it would probably be either psychologist or entrepreneur, which entrepreneur is still on the table. Psychologist can't really justify going back and doing all of that. But psychologist, mostly for the same reasons that I got into the business that I got into, it's just the understanding of motivations and emotions and people. Entrepreneur, just because of the freedom, theoretically, that it provides.
And if you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing?
10 years from now, I'd like to be working for myself. Family-wise, I'd like to be married in 10 years. It's not super pressing at the moment, but eventually it's got to happen. Travel. I'm not super big on traveling, but there are some places I'd like to visit, and I hope to visit at least one of them within the next 10 years. Japan would be great. Going back to Europe and exploring that a little bit more would be good as well. At the moment, it just hasn't taken precedence.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
For me, as simple as this sounds, just going on a walk, whether that be through somewhere scenic. Usually, it really depends on the location, but something scenic, and then a meal afterwards. And that depends on what I already know about that person. If they tend to be adventurous, then obviously I'll cater towards that. If they tend to be more restrictive, then I have to cater towards that. So those are really the activities.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
Qualities to balance me out, I suppose. I think of romantic relationships as a big Venn diagram. Each person has their qualities, but you need to have enough overlapping that you have things in common, obviously, but enough individual qualities that they balance out. And because I'm highly analytical and introspective, I tend to look for somebody who has a little bit of that in them, but tends to be more spontaneous and adventurous, just so, I don't know, that's worked out better in the past, just for balance.
And what is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
The significant other that I have, I think the nicest thing I can do for them is to show affection. That can be done in a variety of ways, but to express that they're cared about and they're loved, I think is a much better present or nicety than, buying something online or, material goods. Like that, I think that's easy. I think expression of emotion is much more difficult, and so that tends to be nicer, in my opinion.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I mean, the first thing was I didn't know if I would ever be ready to have kids on my own, but knew that I wanted to at least have some part of me out there, I guess, as self-serving as that sounds. The more altruistic part of it is, I feel like those who can't have kids or find it difficult would potentially be a better parent than I would because they're so much more appreciative of the gift itself. And so, those were contributing factors. I mean, the compensation is a small part of it, but honestly, like, just the most rewarding part at this juncture has been just understanding the process, and all that goes into it.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4715.